Lot number 212, that's lot number 213. Lot number 196.
Forest Service Silvicultures Artie Parks is standing in the Ocean Beauty Cookhouse Cold Storage in Petersburg, looking at boxes filled not with fish, but yellow cedar saplings. The cold storage serves as temporary housing for the saplings to keep them dormant or slow their growth. Later they'll be sent north to Juneau, where the different strains will be tested for their genetic resistance to deer browsing and freezing injury.
We got 16 different seed lots for Alaska yellow cedar. They were picked up and taken from various areas throughout the Tongass National Forest in various elevations. And what they're doing is they're planting them all in a similar area so they can see which ones do better at different elevations.
The study springs from a 100-year-old mystery. Anyone who's been out on the water in Southeast or flown over the region in an airplane has probably looked over at the surrounding mountains and seen clumps, many clumps, of dead yellow cedar trees. Forest Service biologist Paul Hennen says these increasingly common white patches of dead snags are one visible indication that the region's climate is changing. Hennen is testing whether cedars might survive if he just replanted them further north.
At this point, we're more than anything just checking survival to see how they're doing. A lot of times, tree seedlings don't grow very much the first year they're in the ground. We're just curious to see kind of what the survival rate will be, how many will still be alive, and if there are any animals that may be feeding on them.
Hennen has planted study plots near Yakutat, where the cedars are present but not abundant, once found throughout the Tongass from northern Chichagof and Admiralty Islands all the way down to Ketchikan. Alaskan yellow cedar has been on a steady century-long decline. The species is one of the state's most economically valuable timber sources because of its resistance to rot. Also, yellow cedar is culturally important to Alaska natives, and Hennen hypothesizes that cedars, dead or alive, may increase calcium and nitrogen levels in the soil, thereby boosting forest productivity. When he started studying the tree die-off, Hennen thought it was due to a root rot disease. His 30 years of research on the species suggested to him that it was more an issue of climate. Yellow cedar evolved during the last ice age, when regional temperatures were cooler and the cold season was longer.
We've done a lot of survey work that shows that yellow cedars are dying on these wet soils at low elevation and kind of the areas that have warmer winters in Southeast Alaska. If we go to higher elevations or colder areas, especially up towards Prince William Sound, the cedars are fine. They seem to be healthy there. And we've developed some maps that show where dead cedars are and where low snow is. And there's kind of this remarkable alignment of those maps. So there's a strong indication that snow is a very important factor.
The Alaska Climate Research Center found that over the past 60 years, Alaska has seen a mean temperature increase of 3 degrees Fahrenheit. Mean wintertime temperatures around Southeast have warmed by 3 to 6 degrees during that time. So Hennen is trying to see if cedars might do better further north or at higher altitudes. Moving species into an area where they aren't common could be controversial, because it could be likened to an invasive species. However, Professor John Yeri, the head of the Forestry Department at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, says it's not such a big move. The 500 miles from the southern end of Southeast to the northern end near Yakutat is not the same as transferring plants from Mexico to the Arctic.
They're not looking at making a large geographic move of the species. I believe they're mainly looking at making a move that would be tied to climate change in the future.
Yeri points out additionally, trees, unlike invasive non-woody weeds, live longer and reproduce a lot less. Therefore, Alaskan yellow cedar is a harmless species to transplant just slightly north of its current range. Meanwhile, Hennen is trying to troubleshoot other yellow cedar survival problems in addition to the interaction of the tree's root system with low snowfall and temperature increases. He has experiments looking at the effect of poor draining soil, altitude, and slope. Hennen is also observing how forests near Sitka and Ketchikan are changing given the dying cedar trees in the forest. He says that now that the Forest Service has a clearer idea of what is causing the yellow cedar die-off, reforestation efforts can be increasingly refocused towards more promising habitats and away from areas where the trees cannot grow anymore. In Petersburg, I'm Miladi Kaye.